Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Well, the brand spanking new county manager of York County, Mr. David Hudsmith, is with us today. This is his first official interview since you were given the job. How do you feel?
I feel great about it. Everything's going well. Got plenty of work to do, and everybody's been very supportive, so it's off to a great start.
You know, the process of selecting a new county manager is not an easy one for anybody who's involved. A lot of candidates, a lot of talk, a lot of sit down, a lot of interviews, but that's pretty much standard procedure. You've been down this rodeo before. True,
that's right.
All right, so with that said, here you are. I think it'd be important for you to take 30 seconds and tell everybody about your professional background, because you've been part of York County in one form or another for quite a while.
Yeah, it may take more than 30 seconds.
Okay, we'll give you a minute.
Okay. Yes, I actually started my professional career with the city of Rock Hill back, it's going to date me, but back in 1984, as in their engineering department, and worked for them for 11 years, and decided I wanted to get into administration, so moved to a small county and was a county administrator in Bamberg County for a while, a couple of years, but was fortunate enough to leave that job for the town manager job in Fort Mill. So I worked there for 15 years, very proud of all the things we did there, of all the people I worked with, and just so proud every time I go back there to see how great that town looks. And a lot of people may have preferred it the old way. I understand that, but you know, there were it is quite a city now. And so I did that for 15 years and decided to take early retirement. I was very young because I started so young, and try to pursue some other interests, and did that for a while. But really my heart was in York County, and my heart was in local government administration. So I was eager to come back to York County as the planning director a couple of years ago. And then when they had a vacancy in the manager's role, they asked me to fill that on an interim basis. So I did that for about 8 months. And now, as of last week, I am in that role on a regular basis.
And I would think from York County's perspective, there's not a learning curve with you. I mean, you've been here. You know what the issues are. It doesn't matter where they are in the county.
It is definitely an advantage that I have been tied to York County for so long. And working in local government here, the two largest municipalities in the county, worked for them, and also now being with the county for a couple of years, the knowledge base is there. I mean, I think we have to take advantage of that and make some good things happen, but certainly know a lot of people and where everything takes place.
So what would you say, David, is the biggest challenge that the county faces? Is it growth?
I think that's what we always hear is that, and I do think that's the biggest challenge. And I think you and I have talked about it before. It's a good challenge to have, because I have worked in places where you're losing population, and those challenges are much more difficult to fix. With growth, you have a lot of positive things happen, and you have to mitigate the impacts of it, but there are things that can be fixed and they're for the most part positive.
I don't think anybody would agree or disagree with you, particularly people like myself who have lived a period of time in non-growth areas. Yeah, you're right. This is a much better scenario to have. But with that, you've got so many pressures on, I don't care what level of government, to provide basic services And at times, that's not the easiest thing to do. I mean, thank God we got pennies for progress. But really, in reality, we could use pennies for progress times two. Could we not?
Sure. And I think many of the basic services that we provide, we can keep up with. I think we do a great job of keeping up with. And if it's our role to provide services at the landfill or Moss Justice Center, things like that, we do a great job of keeping up with that. Things we don't control 100%, such as the roads, is a much more difficult task for us. I think we're way ahead of the curve with our pennies for progress project, and we've been funding roads at the county level now for 30 years, and that is highly unusual for counties to do, and we're still admittedly behind on that. I mean, that's not really the fault of the county. Most counties don't fund roads. We are dependent upon the state and federal government for a lot of funding, and we've made a lot of progress there. But the impact of the growth, not just in York County, but in the entire region, impacts the traffic that flows through our community. So that is probably the most difficult challenge we face is keeping up with the traffic and the transportation issues, all that growth brings.
Oh, and then when you take a look at two big projects that are on the radar right now, what's happening in downtown Rock Hill, and then, of course, the Carolina Panthers. I mean, with both of those come to fruition, we're going to see numbers in terms of growth like we've never seen.
Yeah, and I think the good thing about that, you know, that those occur inside the heart of our community and maybe don't have as much impact with people traveling to Charlotte. Of course, we're going to get people now traveling from Charlotte down here to work in those locations. So it does have some impact, but hopefully we'll keep a lot of the employees here working in Rock Hill so they don't have to make that trip.
Which is the name of the game. I mean, we if you take a look at I-77, we can't make that any wider. It's as wide as it could possibly get, thanks to pennies for progress. But we've got an exploding population, and the only alternative is to create more good-paying jobs down here in York County, which is the main thrust of the economic development efforts here.
Yeah, and I think certainly we're on track to do that. The York County Economic Development Department is very successful in attracting businesses. I know Rock Hill is very active, and they're very successful as well. And that's just indicative of the Carolina Panthers wanting to locate here. And it's a good place to be. So we will have some successes there, but it is a tremendous number of people that have to get to work every day, whether that's here or traveling outside the community.
You know, you've been around long enough when you can remember, at least I can, maybe I've been here long, I don't think so, when there was no real stomach by the voters in York County to get involved with recreation. In fact, I can remember there was a proposed millage increase, I think a half a mil or a mil or something, for additional recreation. The voters said no, turned it right on down. And here we are all these years later, and that certainly has changed. I mean, the county recently purchased that 2,000 acres, Riverbend, I think is what the
correct
name of the project is, and we're seeing improvements at Ebenezer and other landings. So I would think that the demand for this quality of life stuff is just going to continue to grow. And I would imagine that the county's, I don't know, efforts and dollars that are going to have to put in that are going to have to be that way too.
Well, you're correct that traditionally the cities have provided most of the recreation, at least the active recreation in the county, athletics and things like that. And I don't know that the county has any role to play there, although we are completing a recreation park in Lake Wylie that is funded by a special tax district. That's a little bit of a unique situation. But I do think we place much more emphasis on providing quality of life for our residents now probably than we have in the past, and that is indicative of purchasing the Riverbend property and creating a development plan there that's going to greatly enhance the quality of life for the community, and as industries look to locate here. That is a high priority for them and what they look at in the community. So I think we've made some strides in that area. We are doing a lot of improvements to our Ebenezer Park and probably have 30 years worth of improvements at Riverbend that we're going to tackle very soon.
So where are we on the Riverbend project? I mean, we got the land. Obviously, that's almost a year old now.
We've purchased the property. We've done the initial phase of just kind of evaluating what needed to take place immediately. And that's just had more to do with evaluating what was on the property and trying to secure the property so that we didn't have a lot of people trespassing and just preserve what was out there. Because if you don't cut the grass, then all those nice meadows and trails that were there won't be that way. So we've been very active in keeping it maintained. In addition to that, we did a very preliminary master plan for the property, and that has been approved by council or endorsed by council. And I think the next step is to take that master plan and convert that into construction drawings and bid the work out for the initial phase, which is it's really not overly ambitious. We've got to get some roads built into that property. We've got to have parking. And I think the initial recreation plan would really just involve some trails to walk on, maybe a canoe launch, something like that, something that gets you access to the Catawba River. But it's, I think down the road, we're probably looking at campsites, maybe an amphitheater, some structures, things like that. It's going to be very limited, but that's more of a long-term plan. Initially, we're going to just try to get people to where they can go out and enjoy the raw land.
So you're getting into the budget phase for the county.
That's correct.
And you don't have all the answers to this. So do you just try to do a guesstimate as to what you want to put into your budget for the next fiscal year as to what you're going to use out there?
Specifically related to Riverbend?
Yeah.
That is something we will consider. I think that's the result of the master plan that we've done out there. We've kind of know what is going to take place in phase one, and we've got to try to secure some funding to make that happen. Once that's done, we can start construction drawings and actual construction of the roadways in there to be the first thing. So
the funding might come from a grant?
Maybe a combination of things, grants or
out of the operational fund or
general
whatever.
Fund. I don't know. It's we're not there yet, but we know the initial phase is not going to be cheap, so we have to figure out where to get those funds from. And I think if you're talking about 30 years of investment, there's going to be a tremendous amount of funding required to fully develop that park. But I think the initial phases can be done within our budget. And I know there's also some talk about trying some private fundraising efforts underway.
Sure.
So I think it'll just be a combination of things, but certainly grants will play a large role in that.
So let me do a 180 with you here. We had an opportunity, members of the media here a few weeks ago, to go tour what they call MRF, I think is the nickname for it.
Yes.
Where the big recycling machine and that whole operation out there, which was quite impressive, to say the least. But it's interesting how this recycling market keeps changing. You know, at one time, there was always a demand for this stuff. And now China has changed its mindset, and so there's not as much of a demand for it. But, you know, Leslie Hatchell pointed out to me that because we're located where we are, that we're able to have more success, let's say, than other communities with recycling efforts because we've got a market here for certain types of stuff. But I think the bottom line of this is that if the recycling doesn't continue to, grow in terms of markets, that eventually we're going to have some landfill issues. I mean, I don't think Columbia is going to be able to take it forever. True, false?
Well, we are fortunate in that we don't maintain a landfill here in York County, and we do have a transfer station where we truck that waste out of the community. The recycling piece of that, you're right, I think as a nation, we're probably a victim of our success. You know, we've got a generation now that has grown up learning that the value of recycling, and many more people recycle now than they ever have, which creates more product and less demand. So I think everything is made, so many things are made to be recycled, but there's no market for a lot of them. So it's kind of, it's difficult. A lot of that still has to go to the landfill because there is no market. As far as our long-term solutions for garbage, we'll continue to truck the waste out of the county, and as long as we can place it in Columbia at the landfill we currently work with, we'll do that. But you're right. I know I've been involved in efforts in previous jobs where there's have a very large landfill on the Savannah River site that serves. I mean, that's a long way from us, but there are places like that that
I just can't imagine what it would be like trying to get the community that we all live in to accept that there's going to be a landfill in a particular location. I would imagine it would be a contentious issue.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll ever see that in York County. I mean, once we got rid of one, and we do still have to do the monitoring and the maintenance of that. So, but placing an active landfill in York County, I think, would be nearly impossible.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill. Now, I know the new county manager knows what I'm about to do. We do fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. He doesn't need a learning curve. At the count of three, we're all going to do it together. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Everybody knows. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Edge Up. Edge Up is the newest and easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Edge Up today, and any purchases made with your Founders debit card may qualify for daily Edge Up transfers. Log in to Founders online to enroll today. Relax, we're giving you an edge on your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Good Pharmacy, with a modern look and traditional standards.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. All six of our pharmacists love serving you and your children. Ask us about alternatives for your child's medicine.
My mommy loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. David Hutsmith, the new county manager for York County, is with us. Had the job now for what, 2 weeks?
My second week, yes.
Second week, and you got the paycheck yet?
Made it to the end of my second week.
So. All right, so you have been the interim director prior to this job, so you're very, very well aware of the two of the biggest issues that the county has now, and they both seem to involve the city of Rock Hill. Let's take number one, which is the TIF district. See if I can summarize this very quickly. The city of Rock Hill approached the county and said, listen, we've got two existing TIF districts. We'd like to merge them into one because of logistical issues. If we're going to build a parking deck over here and it's in the wrong district and all this kind of stuff. And we like to increase the ceiling on the debt that we can incur because we've got all this construction going on downtown here. We do not want to extend the length of the TIF. It'll still expire whenever that year is. That's been a back and forth. The county council approved on first reading at a special meeting Monday night an amendment, a third amendment to the TIF agreement. And then the press release was issued here this week, which had details of new stuff that you wanted in there. The auditor said that there were no discrepancies, that everything was done legally, but I guess because of his report, the suggestion was made for more transparency or something along those lines. Is that where the big issue is here?
Yeah, that was one of the issues, and I think it was more was an accounting issue so that we could understand the accounting of how that TIF operates better. We had asked that they list that as a major fund, and that Rock Hill list that as a major fund in their audit. So every year it gets audited, so our council will have a clear understanding of the inflows and outflows of money in that fund.
So like a separate audit.
That's
of that
correct.
Particular account. Okay, so there's been some back and forth, I guess, between staff, legal staff, administrative staff, whatever. You all have on your agenda the second reading of this TIF coming up on Monday night. And the question I have is what you're going to put on the agenda Monday night, something that basically has been signed off by the city as being acceptable, or are we still got some issues to resolve?
Well, that's a good question. We just had first reading Monday night on the agreement, and I've not had conversations with Rock Hill since we've done that. Now, they have had some discussions. I know our attorney has had some discussions. Not sure if it's with their attorney or who, but he has sent some minor modifications to the agreement, but I don't really think they're of any substance. I think they're just more legal issues. So there'll be a few changes to second reading, but I don't know that they really address any of the main points that we had in the agreement.
And you still have the option to make other changes before you do the third reading. Is
that correct?
That
is correct, yes.
So really we don't know, or you don't know, whether there are any substantive differences between what the city would like to do. I think what the city would want versus what the county wants.
Right, and we've been discussing this for several months now, and we're tasked by our county council to ensure that if we raise the debt limit on this TIF, that we are not in danger of needing to extend the term of the TIF out beyond this current expiration in 2039. So I think that's everything we've done is tried to protect the county's interest so that would not be asked of us in the future to extend that deadline. Not the deadline, but the term.
I thought it was interesting when I had Councilman Hamilton on here earlier this week. His perspective was the bottom line of the TIF is at the end of the, when it folds up in 2039, that there'll be an additional $12 to $15 million of tax revenue that'll be out there.
Yes, and I can say that county council and staff's very supportive of what they're doing in downtown Rock Hill. You and I have been around long enough, and we've seen a number of efforts downtown Rock Hill and, moderate success, put it, to be nice about it. But I think we all see some momentum in the downtown now, and it's very exciting. And I am very much in favor of what they're trying to do. And what happens is, I think what's difficult to explain to people when we're talking about the TIF is that we're capturing the revenue from that particular area and paying off the infrastructure that Rock Hill is installing. And that's great so that at the end of the TIF, we will all benefit from those extra taxes that we're paying the debt. Once the debt's retired, then we'll all share in those revenues. I think the problem is we're now have extended the TIF to 2039, and we are trying to protect county from having to extend that TIF again beyond that.
All right, so we'll see what happens with that. As you said, it's on the agenda for second reading Monday night. And then I guess it could come up in 2 weeks or it could be another month. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it just depends.
Right, it doesn't have to be on a certain time frame.
Okay, so the other issue, the tiny issue, is involving the Carolina Panthers. And this has been going on now for well over a year, involved everybody under the sun. I think the mayor put it interesting months ago when he said everybody's exhausted by this. County's exhausted. The city's exhausted. The real, I guess, the good news is that, again, from previous interviews with council members here, is that over these months, recently, you've been able to put the assistant county manager, Kevin Madden, basically together with his counterpart with the Carolina Panthers. And so there seems to be better understanding of what each are trying to achieve and how to achieve it, which had been somewhat of a challenge prior to that. Is that fair?
I think we have made progress in the last 30 days or so, and because of that, we've got the parties talking that know all of the details and that can bounce ideas off of each other and try to figure out a way to accomplish what it is that the Panthers need and still protect the taxpayers of the county.
So you've heard this question at least 100 times. Is there any schedule yet as to when an ordinance would come before the council, county council?
We have had those discussions with the Panthers recently, and we are trying to get a final version from the Panthers of what they would like us to approve based on the conversations that we've had up until this point. And that could come as early as next week and be put on a council agenda very soon. But we are somewhat dependent on when they have fine-tuned their agreement to the point that they're ready for us to move forward with it.
And I think people need to realize this is a huge project. I mean, I don't care what number you want to put on it. It's huge. And the issue here is how to pay for the infrastructure that's necessary to support this huge project. And to the credit, I guess, of the Panthers, you know, they've laid out exactly what this infrastructure is going to have to be. And the whole approach is let's do it now and not do it piecemeal. And to support that, you need a commitment from their side in terms of how big the project's going to be.
Yeah, that's always been something we've asked of them. And we know what the initial phase is going to be. Construction of the practice facility, the hospital that'll be constructed adjacent to, and other entertainment venues. So we think we have a good handle on what the initial investment's going to be. It's some detail on what's going to follow that they've been reluctant to make firm commitments on, understandably so, because they don't know exactly what is going to happen. So I think we've tried to approach this from the standpoint of what's guaranteed to be built or what we certainly expect to be built early and what may come in future years. And then I think if we evaluate it based on what we all believe is going to come in future years, it gives us a little more flexibility.
Yeah, and again, Councilman Hamilton mentioned the initial size of what the Panthers are going to do is going to be like 5 or 6 times the entire economic development effort in York County for the past year. I mean, it's just going to be big, huge. Well, David, our time has run out. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Always enjoy it.
And congratulations again on being York County's manager.
Thank you very much.
All right, and that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. All right, we got to wrap up the weekend here by reminding everybody what we do 7 days a week here at Substation 2. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes. And the magical way we do it is in the white letters, and we all say it together at the count of three, including you guys. All right? Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Everybody's got it. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.